Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. Yet the word you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. You heard me tell you, I'm going away and I will come back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This is the season of endings and new beginnings. We're blessed this morning to have four new deacons begin their apostolic ministry ordained today. Also, we have to mention, with us today we have one of our seminarians, D'Angelo Marizita. Keep him in your prayers as he prepares for this day of ordination. To be clear, he's not the seminarian staying with us this summer, but John Paul Didzwo will start this Tuesday, and another Stanley will start later in the summer. We have many, many graduations. And during these graduations, the time of beginnings, as often of adventures, but also the time to say their farewells as things end. I just learned this week what valedictory actually means. But the vale, the farewell, dictory, to speak, to speech, the farewell speech. Our gospel today is, in a sense, Jesus' valedictory speech. We hear from John 16, Jesus speaking the night before he dies, telling us of what's about to happen. And he says many, many things. We can spend our lifetime just opening up this gospel scene when Jesus tells us from his heart what he wants to tell his apostles before he dies and rises for us. But today he tells us, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." His last words to his apostles, some of them, before his death, that he wishes them peace. And then his very first words after his resurrection, once he rises from the dead and appears to apostles locked in the upper room, Jesus appears and says, "Peace be with you." The apostles freak out and there's an uproar, and Jesus again says, "Peace be with you." But Leo himself, his very first words, his beginning of his pontificate, says the words of Jesus, "Peace be with you." Words that are of an ending, but also of a new beginning. There's another place in the Gospels Jesus speaks of peace, which are jarring. He says, "I did not come to bring peace." In fact, the whole quote is Jesus saying, "Do not suppose that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I've come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be members of his own household." Jesus leaves us peace, but also Jesus is very clear that's not what he's about. We have to separate the two kinds of peace, the peace of the world and the peace of Christ. The peace that the world offers could be protection. The peace of Rome, the Pax Romani, when the empire of Rome was growing vast, they had protection. They had pleasure because Rome took care of everything. That's not the peace that Christ offers. The peace of the world is control. The peace of the world is protection. The peace of the world is the future is taken care of, you're fine. The peace of the world is just pleasure. In a word, the peace of the world is suburbia. Everything's fine. Everything's taken care of. I got an next meal. Everything is just okay. But that is exactly the peace that Christ has not come to bring. In our comfort, Jesus proclaims the sword. And he says, I have come to separate that kind of comfort because he wants something far greater for us, the peace of Christ. Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Jesus' peace is different than the world. In the letter of the Ephesians, St. Paul says, Christ himself is our peace. Because the peace of the world is cheap, and it's shaky, and does not last. Rome fell and could not provide protection, could not provide pleasures, and could not provide for tomorrow. But Jesus Christ promises us that he will come into our hearts and dwell in us. Our prayer to the risen Lord should be, I trust him so much that I'm at peace because he takes care of me. I love him so much that I am at peace because I have everything I love and want, Jesus. What would it be like if we actually had that peace? It sounds nice, but it's actually more than just about myself. It's more than just even mental health. It's actually cosmic proportions. The enemy's first plan is to tempt us to sin, to separate us from the Lord. But plan number two for Satan is to get us to lose our peace. Because once that happens, he has a foothold in our hearts, and he can shake us and get us to turn away from the Lord and then to fall into sin. That's defense. What about offense? What if we had that peace? Not only what would that do for ourselves, but what would that do for everyone around us? One of the saints, Saint Seraphim, says, acquire the spirit of peace, and 1,000 souls around you will be saved. If we acquire that peace, it's not only our own happiness, our own joy, but everyone around us will know the peace of Christ that does not fail, that is the only true peace. God, in his goodness, will bring the sword. If we live in suburbia, that's fine. That's where God's placed us. But if our peace comes from our home, our winnings to make our living, if our peace comes from how much money we make, if our peace comes from our fame, our glory, the Lord will see that, and the loving mercy of God will bring the sword, and the love of God will pierce our hearts, so much so that it will be enough for us to say, that is not my peace, but only that of Jesus Christ is where my peace lies. It gives us the chance to have our hearts pierced and say, okay, Lord, I want you and I want you. That is where my peace lies. Enough for our hearts to be pierced and say, God, only from trusting you is my peace. So how do we get that? If we notice in our hearts any firm grip, not letting go of the worldly peace, we can give that to the Lord and tell him, Lord, you can pierce my heart there. I want you and your peace. But ultimately, the peace of Christ is not something we can get. We can't figure it out. We can't grasp after it. We just have to open our palms and ask for it. The peace of Christ is from the Holy Spirit. That quote, acquire the spirit of peace and 1,000 souls around you will be saved. Spirit is capitalized. Acquire the Holy Spirit and you'll bear the fruit of peace. Once we have the Holy Spirit, once we have Jesus in our hearts, once we have the living God present within us, peace will come on its own. Our spiritual exercise is to ask for the Holy Spirit. Next Sunday, we celebrate Ascension, when Christ rises into heaven. And the Sunday following is Pentecost, when the Spirit falls upon us. The work for us now, the next 2 weeks, is to desperately ask the Holy Spirit to come. Not our own power, but desperately telling the Holy Spirit, I need you to come. Because when you do, you will bring your peace. And that is what I long for.